Lux Occult is a part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network.
Thank you, whoever turned the radio to rain. Thank you who spilled the strong-willed wine for not being me, so I'm not to blame. I'm glad I'm not that broken tree, although it looks sublime. And I'm glad I'm not taking a test and running out of time. What's a tetrahedron anyway? What's the sublime? 3,483 divided by 9. The 10th Amendment, the ferryman's name, on the river Styx. We're all missing more and more tricks, losing our grips, guilty of crimes we didn't commit. The horse rears and races, then moves no more. The sports coup grinds to a stop, beginning a new life is rot, beaten to shit. Whitman, grass stain, consciousness, swamp gas. The bones and brain, protoplasm and liver, ground down like stones in a river. Or does the heart cinder wash up as a delta froth, out of which hops frogs spawn, dogs snot, the next rhyming grind, next kid literati? Maybe the world's just a bubble, all philosophy ants in a muddle, an engine inside an elk's skull on a pole. Maybe an angel's long overdue and we're all in trouble. Meanwhile, thanks, whoever, for the dial turned to green downpour. Thanks for feathery conniptions at the seashore and moth-minded match flash breath. Thank you for whatever's left. That is Spring Rain by Dean Young. Hello and welcome to Lux Occult. This is, of course, the podcast where we gleefully taunt the mundane, butcher the Latin, and most other languages, and we also discuss a variety of occult, esoteric, and adjacent topics, exploring the intersections of magic, art, science, philosophy, technology, and so much more. This is occultism for everyone. I'm your host, Lux Estrada, and if you're hearing the sound of my voice, that means that the show and magic, for that matter, are for you if you want them. There are a lot of different ways to be more free, and using magic or making space for a spiritual practice in your life can be one of them. As always, I don't speak for anybody but myself. Others can, will, and should disagree sometimes. How would we ever learn anything if we all agreed all the time after all? And like those who attempt to be reasonable should be willing to do, I am willing to revise my opinions based on new evidence. All right, quite excited to be presenting this very special episode to you all. It's been a long time in coming. Included in it will be a conversation that I had with Dave from Unearthing Paranormalcy about something that has been in the works for a bit now, and you've heard me talking about it a little bit. This is the Green Mushroom Project Mycocultus Working. So Dave Audrey, in addition to being one of the hosts over at Unearthing Paranormalcy and a founding member of the Green Mushroom Project, is also working on his third degree studies for the Ancient Order of Druids in America. He shared a document that people can look at if they would like to follow him on this journey or are curious about what the druids get into. I've included a link to that in the show notes. So over the past few years, Dave has been working on a project involving putting together some of the core concepts you'd find in a lot of the neophyte or beginner work from mystery schools and other related traditions, and reskinning it with cool mushroom symbology. By using the mushroom, we're moving away from some of the ideas about gender and whatnot that are baked into a lot of this stuff. Fungal biology is very different from how plants and animals do things. There's also an otherness about the mushroom. It's not only like maybe a sort of portal as a symbol. A lot of times it's kind of a portal to the fey realm, if you will. There's also something that speaks to the desire for a unity with that which is weird or fey or just plain strange. Very strange, perhaps. Dave T. Grady, who is also Mirth and Woe on Instagram, and a few others here have given the Mycocultists working a test run, and we've put it together in what we hope will be an easy-to-digest format. This has been a very cool collaborative project. Shane Shadow Eater helped out with editing and formatting. T. Grady, who, as I said, Mirth and Woe on Instagram, made some very dope illustrations for it. He's also the one that made the Lux Occult Hello Void graphic that you can find at my Etsy store, Lumen Industries, on a t-shirt or book bag. We had a whole crack team of proofreaders, and a lot of people had their hands on this ball that we are now tossing out into the world for all of you to enjoy. Thanks so much to everybody who helped out in making this thing possible. Your efforts are greatly appreciated. In the interview, Dave and I will be getting into what the Mycocultist working entails, as well as what type of practitioner might be interested in experimenting with it. After the interview, I'll share a guided meditation written and recorded by A.R. Salzman, which was a part of the Green Mushroom Project's third birthday ceremony this Halloween, and I will talk a little bit about the Pirates Revel that we threw for that. Before we get any further, I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with me and my awesome guests here on the show. I've been using social media less and less lately. It's good for the mental health, and also I'm very introverted and quite busy usually, but that certainly doesn't mean that I don't want to hear from you all. I'm really, really lucky to have such amazing listeners, collaborators, cohorts, co-conspirators, etc. The audience of this show truly are some of the coolest and smartest people I've had the pleasure of interacting with, so I really appreciate y'all. I always welcome people's thoughts, questions, comments, suggestions, or arcane revelations. You can reach me at luxoccultpod@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Instagram at luxoccultpod. If you like the show and the other work that I've been getting into, you can support me on Patreon. If you do so, you can take a bibliomancy break with me, and there are no tiers or levels, so give as you will. During a break in the interview, I'm actually going to share one of these with you, with the permission of the person who I read for, because it is quite humorous. Buy Me a Coffee is an option for those who wish to show their support with a one-time donation. And thank you so much to everybody who's been donating to the show. Your support does make it possible by allowing me to cover the expenses associated with making it, thereby justifying the time I spend. I really do appreciate the opportunity to be speaking into this microphone, and so thank you all so much for making that possible. Thank you. Real quick, I wanted to give a shout out and a big thank you to everybody who will be participating in the new sound and sex magic experiment I'm conducting. I honestly wasn't sure if anybody would be into it, but a healthy crop of intrepid ritualists will be braving the new territory with me, and I'm very stoked about it. I'm very excited to witness what will emerge from this work. If you're one of the ritualists who filled out the form and all that good stuff, please check your email for the seed track that we will be using for the first round of rituals, as well as for some other notes. There are a lot of you, so it's possible that it might have gotten sent to spam. So please take a look there, and I'll talk a little bit more about the Audiophilia experiment after the interview. Check out the Trinary Sigil Generating app from Chaos Tarot. Matt, who you can hear on episode 19, Pop Culture, the Psychology Model, and Occulting the Occult with Matt from Chaos Tarot, let me know earlier that he's working on a new feature for the Trinary web app, which will allow users to add the Green Mushroom Hypho Sigil to the sigils or sigilized images that they create. I use the Trinary app all the time to make the planetary square sigils that I like to use with a lot of my visual magic stuff. It's a very dope free service that I've gotten a lot of utility out of. And also, when I first started podcasting and was like super fucking nervous about it, Matt was super chill and supportive and very helpful. A lot of people were and continue to be. Dave, who you'll hear in just a moment, was also a huge help, not just for this show, but also for the Green Mushroom Project. Yarmurid, host of Administrism and the developer of the Administrism paradigm, was absolutely instrumental in giving the project a home and being incredibly fucking welcoming and chill. So many people were, and we would not be here without you, so thank you. As we talk about the Mycocultists working, today will be a bit of a crash course exploring, with broad strokes, some common concepts which we find in a lot of esoteric traditions, as well as looking at how these fit into what Dave is presenting. You can hear Dave and I discuss Druidry and the Oum Fuse in episodes 4 and 5 of this show, and don't forget to check out Unearthing Paranormalcy, where he, Amy, and Chad do a great job diving into some very fun topics. I still think my favorite is probably their series on the happenings on Project Montauk, which is what the Netflix series Stranger Things is based on. So fun stuff there. All right, without further ado, so excited to finally be presenting this to you all. Here's my chat about the Mycocultists working with Dave Audrey. Okay. Greetings, this is Lux Estrada, and I am here with Dave from Unearthing Paranormalcy. How's it going, Dave?
Oh, it's going really well. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited to finally be talking about this. I know that this has been in the works for some time, and I'm really stoked to finally see it brought to ground, as it were.
Oh, I'm very excited to share this with, I guess, everybody who's listening.
All right. Well, let's not bury the lead too far here. What are we talking about here today?
We're going to be talking about the Mica cultus working.
All right. That sounds fancy. What's that?
Well, first I got to give a little background into it and a little bit of philosophy.
Okay.
Okay. But going off of, so there's two primary sources of life force in our cosmos. One of these is chthonic, that which is below. Symbolically, the heart of the earth, the serpent, the dragon, the ob, the void, the current of power, and so on. The other is celestial, that which is above. Symbolically, birds, the hawk, the eagle, the heron, the sun, light, the odd, the absolute, the current of knowledge, and so on. And from these sources spring the two primary currents of energy used in most systems of magic, the chthonic current and the celestial current. Now, these interact in various ways. On the simplest level, they balance each other out. At the point of balance, possibilities of freedom and effective action exist. They also set secondary currents of energy into motion. And spiritual philosophies and magical traditions, for the most part, have emphasized the celestial current of knowledge, teaching students about heavens and ascension from lower to higher levels of being. Light is typically an attribute of the most knowledgeable and highest of beings, and a few spiritual philosophies and magical traditions have taken the opposite approach, emphasizing the chthonic current of power, teaching students about underworlds and deeper levels of existence and deeper understanding. But these two currents, you know, they balance each other out. And at the point of balance, the Axis Mundi point, potential, freedom, and effective action can be found. And this is because the interaction between the currents offer more possibility for creative action than either current does on its own. This combined relationship between the celestial and the chthonic yields a deeper result. In the balanced fusion of above and below, the two become three and a new force is brought in. This is symbolically the egg, the jewel, the sacred cup, the seed, the prima materia, the ore, the child, and so on. And this third current cannot exist naturally in the individual or in the world. It must be made by the balanced fusion of the celestial and chthonic currents.
Okay, very cool. So this is sounding very alchemical indeed.
Yeah, it's very universal. You find it in alchemy, you find it in Taoism, you find it in pretty much all the traditions that doesn't try to pit one against the other.
Okay, very cool.
And while the chthonic current works through the body and its passions, expressing itself through the lower aspects of human nature, forces of life, love, passion, and power that root in the body, with an energy center within the body at the womb center. The celestial current acts through the mind and its perceptions, expressing itself through the higher aspects of human nature, capacities for reason, imagination, abstract knowledge, and impersonal emotion, with an energy center at the heart. So the combined current expresses itself through the soul and its powers, bringing healing, creativity, expanded awareness, illumination, and so on. It has an energy center in the middle of the head at the pineal center. When this current is awakened within an individual, it awakens the inner senses, awakens individuality, expands awareness, and brings peace. When it awakens in the land, it brings healing, fertility, and plenty. When it awakens in an item or concept, it gives it its new potential, purpose, and intent.
All right, very cool. I like the idea of conceptualizing how these things or how this energy would iterate across these different circumstances or levels. Very cool.
Oh, yeah. For like an example, this fusion of the celestial and chthonic current giving birth to the third current can be learned by watching a seed sprout and grow into a tree. The seed brings sunlight and soil together and transforms them into the substance of the growing plant. It also brings celestial and chthonic currents together to form a spark of the combined current along its meristem, the points of new growth. So everything is contained in that seed to bring it to its effective action as a growing, thriving life. However, it still needs to be sustained through the combined infusion of above and below throughout its life in order to live to its fullest potential.
All right.
So it's about a year ago or so, we were in one of our Fungal Friday chats, and someone asked if anyone had taken on a major ritual working that lasted 4 months or longer. And I brought up the inner grail working, which takes place anywhere from months to years, and then is continually practiced. And the next day, one of our friends, Laughing Dog, approached me, and we discussed our different approaches towards the exact same thing. This was during a time when I was very interested in taking things out of their paradigms to offer esoteric techniques, which are based upon what is most evocative to an individual, rather than sending the student out with philosophy tables and correspondences to memorize. This is right after coming off of the non-paradigmal pathworking I put together that I do workshops for periodically. And it was kind of through this research and looking at this stuff that we realized how universal it really was. And as we pulled all of the traditions and the paradigms out, we realized that we didn't have enough syntax to effectively communicate this, you know, because common words too often don't effectively communicate uncommon themes.
Sure.
So we decided to use mushroom symbolism and hermetics to convey the concepts for the mycocultus working.
Mushmetics?
Mushmetics.
I'm sorry.
Along with symbols of the Green Mushroom Project. And this is with the caveat that these symbols are only used to express the concepts, and that individuals should seek their own symbols and use ones which are most evocative to them.
Okay, yeah, you do you. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So the mycocultus working combines energies typically called celestial, that which is above, and chthonic, that which is below, to manifest a third type of force. The third force, being the careful, deliberate fusion of celestial and chthonic, is what alchemy and philosophy has called prima materia, and what we decided to call the primordia. Once established, the primordia presents numerous benefits and potentials to a practitioner. One of its basic functions is that it radiates around the practitioner, setting into motion patterns of protection, healing, strengthening, inspiration, innovation, and creativity.
Fuck yeah. And maybe we could talk a little bit about the biological metaphor present here. Like, what is primordia in terms of mycological life?
Oh, definitely. Primordia is the point in which things grow. In plants, these are the cells that will form into new leaves, flowers, or other parts. It is essentially the buds. Like I was talking about earlier with the meristem.
Kind of like stem cell tissue, if you will.
Yeah. It's also the point in which things grow in fungi. And so basing the anatomy of a mushroom and its life cycle was idea. You know, the primordia is a welling point accessing the mycelium.
Also, by the way, a great podcast on the Green Mushroom Podcast Network. Shout out to Britt. Just had to plug that real quick since we're talking about primordia. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. She has a wonderful show. So primordia is the point in which things grow in animals contained in the embryo, as in it contains all the information it needs to grow into an adult of its species. In hermetics, the single point of the absolute imposed on the infinite void and made the first life, which set forth all of manifestation. From a scientific perspective, this is sometimes called the Big Bang Theory. Also from that scientific perspective, embryos contain all the information they need to reproduce themselves into an entire organism, one cell at a time. And as far as humans and other vertebrates are concerned, this is part of the growing process as well, since primordium means an organ, structure, or tissue in the earliest stage of development. But since vertebrates are not plant or fungi and are not attached to networks in the physical sense, primordia works differently. The primordia the mycocultus working develops and cultivates within humans has more to do with transforming the energy body, the astral body, consciousness, subconscious, the light body, and other things that are in connection with the world around us, than it has to do with transformations of the physical body.
So I can't grow an extra arm by doing your working.
No, and I don't really know of any magic that can.
Well, if anybody out there listening, I'm just joking. All right. Very cool. Yeah, this is awesome. Continue on. I apologize for derailing us there.
So before we get into like the internal applications, let's explore the practical aspects of this in magic. So one can use these same techniques in a similar method to set in motion intentions in a wider circle around the self. For example, you can summon these two currents into anything you attend to awaken the primordial current within, such as magical trinkets, tools, talismans, sigils, symbols, and so on. And this provides them effective action toward their new potential purpose and intent.
Okay, very cool. That sounds useful.
But the Mica cultist working itself is comprised of seven stages. While each of the seven stages have particular ends, when they are performed together and sustained over time, the end effects are greater than the sum of its parts. Now, there are ways to tap into the primordial in a single ritual, the full manifestation and cultivation of the combined current or primordia, can take up to a year to firmly establish the first time. And so the Mica cultist takes place in seven stages, and each requires time to set into place. The seven full stages are banishing, calling of the elements, the sphere or circulation of light, the awakening of the currents, establishing and filling energy centers, the rise in mycelium, and the mushroom of light. In working through the seven stages, the practitioner uses movement, words of power, imagination, life force channeling, breath work, meditation, ritual, daily exercises, and intentionality. The text we prepares lays out a discrete path for these techniques in the various stages, but practitioners undertaking the working should start where they see fit for their level of practice. And each should, of course, modify the operation in accordance with their individual insights and experiences. I guess, in other words, each practitioner's journey through the Mica cultist will be vastly different.
All right. Very cool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you said that there were explicit steps laid out for people in terms of, like, if people want to pursue this work, where can they find this?
They can be found in the Discord server of the Green Mushroom Project.
Oh yeah, and you know what, we'll make it available as, there'll be a link to it for whatever notes are available as part of this conversation, whether it's put out on its own or whether it's put out as part of something else. There will be notes to the working that we're talking about attached to it somehow, so check the show notes for that. Hey, what's up? It's me, Luxa from the future. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. Thank you so much for listening. I wanted to hop in here and let you all know that the document with the Mica cultist working can be found in the show notes, as well as on the Green Mushroom Project's website at greenmushroomproject.com. We'll also have a channel in the Discord server where we can discuss it and our work with it. I also wanted to share a very fun bibliomancy reading that I recently performed for a Patreon supporter, Kay Green. Thank you so much to Kay and to everybody who's supporting the show on Patreon and who has given on Buy Me a Coffee. So Kay asks about sticking with a biology degree or launching into creating things with yarn, colors, designs, workshops, things like that. So the question is, dear Eris, should I put all of my available energy into my biology degree or into developing yarn, art, workshops, and designing? All right, let's check it out here. Here's that little bibliomancy break. All right. Hello, Kay. This is Luxa here to do your bibliomancy reading. I appreciate the support. Thanks so much for listening and for becoming a patron. Okay, so I'm now going to roll the dice and determine what text we will be consulting. All right. It's going to be Prometheus Bound by Aeschylus. And having gone through getting a biology degree myself, I can definitely relate with the sort of Aeschylus-bound vibe that can sometimes entail. Let me go grab that text. All right, I have here Aeschylus, Prometheus-bound, translated by James Scully and C. John Harrington. Oh, Eris, should Kay put all energy into this biology degree or into developing yarn art workshops and designing things? What say you?
I do see, Prometheus, and what I wish to give you, smart as you are, is the best advice of all. Know thyself. Fucking A, Eris. That is cold, but also very apropos. I think that Eris is saying that you already have the answer to this question, and you just have to admit it to yourself, perhaps, whatever that might be. Thank you, Eris. So frustrating, as always, and hilarious. Alright, silly stuff. Thanks so much to Kay for the support and for allowing me to share this reading with all of you. We messaged a little bit after about how things really don't have to be one way or the other either, and that there are a lot of really cool intersections to be found between science and the arts. So much luck to you, Kay, in all of your endeavors, whatever shape they may take. Let's get back to the rest of my conversation with Dave Audrey from Unearthing Paranormalcy and the Arch Order of Druids in America, and of course, the Green Mushroom Project. Cheers.
Hey, Luxa, what do you have there? It looks like a tattered old Discord server.
Oh, this old thing? It's pretty beat up. But if I do this...
Sweet! Now that you peeled off the outer bits, it looks fresh as hell.
We should call it the Green Machine.
Awesome! I fucking hate it!
That's okay. It should function alright. But it would probably work better if we had more people.
Yeah! We have an awesome crew of chaos, occultists, socialists, witches, and weirdos, but there's always room for more.
Absolutely. If you'd like to take part in any of our many chats, rituals, workshops, clubs, and more, hit me up and I will send you a link. You can reach me at luxoccultpod@gmail.com or at luxoccultpod on Instagram.
And remember, resist.
So for people who are interested in doing something like this, what kind of like a time frame or like, you know, kind of commitment would they sort of have to think about making? You know, I'm thinking like, okay, well, I'm curious about doing this, but I'm so busy. Like, what kind of thing am I looking at there? Is this daily work? Is this weekly work? Like, what kind of time commitment is this?
It's a mix of both, really. I would say maybe 15 minutes a day.
Okay.
Maybe a little more at certain parts.
And what does that look like from like a praxis standpoint? If I'm taking my 15 minutes a day, like what kind of stuff do I think I'm going to be doing during that time?
Well, it just depends on what stage you are in the working. Every piece of it builds off of the other one. So if you're starting out at the very beginning, you would just be working on a banishing ritual. That would be learning like the Kabbalistic cross, the elemental cross, or the Yeo banishing.
What if I already have a personal banishing ritual that I like to rock? Can I skip that?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
They'd move on to the calling of the elements. And you can call those with, you know, like the lesser ritual of the pentagram, the calling of the six ways, the calling of the elements portion of the sphere of Hecus or the sphere of protection, or those are just the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, okay, so there's all different ways to call in the elements, absolutely.
And if the particular way of calling them doesn't include a chthonic and a celestial, you would add that in at the end.
Okay.
You would call the chthonic current, you would call the celestial current. And after that, you would call the middle current, where the two, you know, fuse together into a balance.
Okay, so what if I'm already familiar with doing that kind of work? Could I skip that part as well?
Absolutely. And you could move right on to like a sphere of light or a circulation of light. I think it was, I can't remember if it was Levy or it was Israel Regardi that came up with the circulation of light. Oh, there's also a version of it in, I think, Liber MMM.
Yeah, this is something that comes up a lot of different places. I mean, I've seen it even talked about in like new agey like energy work shit, and like, so yeah, I think this is kind of a pretty accessible concept that folks might have come across from a lot of different circumstances.
Yeah, and essentially it's just a sphere of light that's formed around you about an arm's distance or bigger. I mean, you should always work towards making it as wide as you can. And that was that sphere I was talking about that protects, heals, strengthens, and bestows inspiration, innovation, creativity.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's other ways of thinking about it other than like a sphere too. I mean, I think, yeah, whatever makes sense to you too. I feel like that maybe sometimes we get a little bit too dogmatic with the language surrounding this stuff. But yeah, exactly. Like it's a what you said. Okay, so what we're seeing here is that this is sort of walking a practitioner through some pretty basic, you know, occulty things that, you know, one would learn in a lot of different traditions that they might choose to pursue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Almost every mystery school or like magical book that has to do with, especially like ritual magic, pretty much starts you out learning these things.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's assume that I'm already really good at doing the energy light ball, or however you like to think about it. I can hop right to the next step, which is...
Right to the next step, which is the awakening of the currents. And that is essentially awakening the celestial and the chthonic current. Now, those are a little more... I mean, there's a few ways to go about them. In the guide, we have it as... just rituals people can do. And these are, they kind of have a lead up to them. Like you'll spend weeks like reading about, like for the chthonic current, you'll spend weeks like reading mythology and stories about like the underworld and the upper world, studying the philosophy that covers themes of like above and below. You know, you'll be prompted to meditate on things like, you know, why do we consider the realm of the dead below? Why do so many traditions consider the lower current as evil? You know, things like that.
Okay.
And then also during that point, you'll listen to guided meditations. And those are available on the Lux Occult podcast. They're in between episode 12 and 13.
Okay. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes for this. We'll make them accessible and easy to find.
And I chose that one because of the way the operation is in that guided meditation, where it pulls from above and below to mix the two and then put it out into the world.
Is that the first one that we made?
If it's not the first one, it's like the second one.
Okay, yeah. I remember the first one I ever wrote for the project, like... it definitely was one of those things that came upon me. Like, it was like, you have to write this right now, just like this. And I was like, okay. Yeah, it's funny. So, yeah, there's been a lot of things like this with this stuff. So, fuck yeah. Very cool. And I think you did the voice work for that, too. Because I think, if I recall correctly, I decided that the way that I recorded it sounded too horny. So...
oh, yeah, I remember that. I was like, hilarious. Well, I'll try my best.
Make it less horny, Dave. All right, fuck yeah. So we're listening to a lot of guided meditations, like thinking about the thonic and the celestial currents and just like what those concepts mean to, like, you know, the ancients, and what do they mean to us in our modern lives and in our own way of thinking about stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like why people talk of like the deeper self and the deeper levels of being. You know, I guess that portion of it isn't so much to conclude any answers. It's just really kind of grappling with the questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. This isn't like something that will bring you a lot of answers. This is something that will bring you mysteries. Like, this is about thinking about things which, you know, have always sort of been considered mysteries, and mysteries they shall remain. That's kind of the point of them, right?
Mm-hmm. And during this portion, you know, in the guide, there's like receptive exercises that are laid out for like drawing energy up from the earth and stuff, and doing like grounding exercises and things.
Okay, fuck yeah.
And then after you awaken the chthonic current within yourself, which is a lot easier to do because, you know, we're earth beings, we're carbon beings, you start working on awakening the celestial current. And that involves, you know, meditations about like, why do mystics talk about like the higher self and higher levels of being, and like why so many spiritual traditions think of the spiritual as above the material instead of below it or beside it or beyond it or under it or in any other direction.
I feel like that must be like a biological thing because of like our sense organs mostly being in our head, which is like above our feet, which is on the which are on the ground. I don't know. That's my instinct there. At least I have not pondered this mystery, though. So please don't let me spoil that and take what I say with salt, everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the same with those. I mean, it's not really about finding any answers. It's just like in grappling with the question and coming up with stuff like that. Like maybe it's just because our head's higher than our heart. I don't know. And then that one in the guide, it also offers, you know, exercises to draw force from the celestial current kind of into yourself and things. And then there's, you know, rituals that go on into it. I mean, they're all wrote out. I don't want to get off into that because I think it'd just be boring if I was just reading instructions.
Yeah, that's cool. So, but if people want to have things laid out for them, if they're feeling like confused or maybe they're like new to magic or whatever, like there is stuff laid out. But if people want to do things their own way, I'm sure that that's worked in there as well. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We chose to use pentagrams to represent each current, one right side up, one upside down. But that's just because pentagrams are fairly universal.
Yeah, and that's something from your own tradition of druidry, right? Like that the thonic pentagram is like the upside down one or whatever, the one with the point pointing down, and the celestial one is the one with the point pointing up.
Yeah, yeah, and that comes to they've always, oh, as far almost back as the pentagram, they've always viewed that top one as spirit. So if you flip it upside down, that is spirit below, essentially.
Okay.
And then rising up into the, like, Levy had a lot of words on this that, like, you never want to have a upside down pentagram because it represents the material over the spiritual and yada, yada, yada. But I mean, as you can tell from this, we're going way beyond that, you know?
Yeah, I think we should take things that Levy said with some fucking salt too, y'all. Just saying. Yeah.
Levy was one of those people that argued for celestial current only. A lot of the medieval and Renaissance grimoires are this way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need to take into context sort of like the time and everything that was going on during the time this was written and everything too. So, but yeah, I've heard it kind of talked about as well as like the thonic pentagram or whatever, spirit below, as being like about manifestation, right? Like about bringing things down to earth, where the other thing is about, you know, sending things up, like things about gaining knowledge or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to flip them from how it is in the guide, I mean, that's exactly what it's there for, you know. It's whatever insights and whatever's most evocative to those going through it.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to magic, whatever makes sense to you will be the most powerful for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell me more about this.
Okay, so then after you got that, after you have kind of these currents awakened in your life and kind of your being and stuff, that's when you start establishing energy centers within yourself. In the Mike Occultist working, we used 3. Now, different traditions have different ones, like 5 or 7, and some as high as like 31. And if you want to do that, that's fine too. But we just focus on the 3, one for the celestial, one for the chthonic, and one for primordia. And what we decided to call those, all right, the chthonic one, the one that's at the womb center, about 2 inches below the navel. This is the one that
have a womb?
symbolically.
Okay, it just I'm just for folks who are wondering.
This is the, like, it's been called like the Dijon Center for like breathing, belly breathing.
The cauldron or whatever I've heard it referred to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be linked to the chthonic current. We call it the mycelium center. I mean, you call it whatever you want if you're doing the operation. And you'll come up with your own personally crafted symbol for this. And then once you have that in place, then you would start to imagine another center in the middle of your chest, like above your solar plexus, I'd say, maybe at your heart. And that one's also, you know, personally crafted by the individual, how it looks. And so what happens is over time, the lower energy center forms your link with the chthonic current, and the one at your heart forms the link with the celestial current. And after you have that together, then you will start with the one that's in your head. And that's the one that's symbolic of the primordia.
Okay, cool. I would have like kind of intuitively put the primordia in between them. That actually makes sense from more of an experiential standpoint, though. Very cool. Okay.
And you totally can if you want to put the celestial one at the head and the primordium at the heart. That's absolutely fine as well.
Okay.
I just kind of put it there because primordia and then embryos and the pineal gland and just a lot of science reasons mostly.
Sure. There's also a lot of like intersection with the idea and like concept of mushrooms and like research that's, you know, now finally being like resumed about the potential like psychiatric benefits of them and everything and other clinical benefits. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that there's some interesting stuff symbolically there as well, whatever makes sense to people, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then once you got those kind of in place, there's a ritual for filling them. And then after that ritual, it becomes part of that daily one where you do your banishing, you do your calling, and you would do the filling the centers exercise and then follow that up with the sphere or circulation of light. And over time with doing that, these centers become filled.
Okay. So for folks that are feeling like, ooh, this is sounding a little bit too much like ceremonial magic, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of steps and really complicated and a lot of work. Like, I think that maybe these things are a lot more difficult to describe, like, in, you know, a conversation like this than they are to actually, like, do in practice. You know, like, it might sound like a lot of stuff, but when you actually go to do it, it's just sort of can become really second nature and really easy to just kind of like go these, you know, this routine that you've built up for yourself, right? So if it's sounding like a little overwhelming, like, don't forget that this is something that we've worked up to get to this point. So yeah, just wanted to point that out to folks listening.
Oh yeah, and it's fairly easy. I mean, you just kind of, a lot of it has to do with breathing exercise. So as like you breathe in, you feel that energy going to your ketonic center. And then as you breathe out, you imagine it radiating there. And then you do the same with the celestial center and then with the primordia center.
So it sounds like a lot of what we have here is, as you sort of said before, these various sort of, you know, kind of universal concepts that show up in Western occultism and other places as well, that, you know, we've kind of distilled to some of their universal traits and offered in this mushroom packaging for folks. What kind of like a level do you think that this would be appropriate for? Like, is this something for somebody who's been, you know, messing around with crazy stuff for like 20 years, or is this accessible to somebody who's like just starting on their path of magic or has maybe been at it for a couple years? Or yeah, what are we kind of thinking in terms of accessibility?
Both, really. I mean, both people that are advanced and people that are beginners could benefit from this working. And it's also designed in a way for beginners because it starts right with that, you know, that banishing ritual like all traditions do. They teach you just a simple ritual to get you going, and then everything builds from there.
Yeah, so if this sounds like something that seems really intense and crazy, like this is definitely meant to be an introductory thing. I would encourage people who are interested to check it out. And, you know, I think you make a good point too about even if you have been, you know, playing around with magic forever, there's still a lot of value to be had in returning to some of the, you know, techniques that you messed around with earlier and kind of seeing how they hit differently, because like just because they haven't changed, you have. And so it's going to be a completely different experience. I've been messing around with that recently and really finding a lot of joy in it. Actually, it's been pretty fucking cool. So yes.
Heck yeah. Okay. Now the next part, I mean, like I said, this could take months. It can take people years to do, but then the next part of it is the rising mycelium. Okay. And I'm going to explain more how that looks than kind of what it does.
Okay.
Because I think it'd be more accessible if we look at the staff of Hermes, or the symbol of hospitality for Western medicine, where you got the circle, which is the light, and the light coming down into a point and making like a spear. And then you have dragons or snakes intertwining and meeting at the top.
Okay, okay.
That's exactly what you imagine. The mycelium rising up through each of your legs, crossing at the chthonic center, winding up, crossing at that next center, whether you go celestial or primordial there, and then ending at the top.
I like the parallel between snakes and mycelia. Of course, snake is a classic symbol of the thonic current. I love this kind of idea of the mycelia kind of creeping through the soil in much the same way that a snake might creep. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of the imagery we have on it. It's like a flow of the rising mycelial-like hyphae knots.
Very cool. Hell yeah.
And then you'd work that into your kind of everyday thing. After you fill the energy centers, you'd bring the light or the water or whatever you want down. I think in the Golden Dawn, this has a certain name. Is it the middle pillar?
Yeah, that sounds right. I was going to say, it sounds like that to me. So, yeah.
And then you'd bring the mycelial up. And then, you know, you'd do that for a while, for a few weeks, few months, whatever, until you're ready to go on to the mushroom of light.
All right. What's the mushroom of light? It's bringing up, I'm not going to lie, kind of sinister images in my mind.
Okay.
I'm thinking of like mushroom clouds and shit, but I'm guessing that's not what you mean. Or maybe it is. This is like a power thing, right? Like, I mean, maybe there's like some shadow stuff there I could explore, but yeah, interesting.
Okay. Well, I'll kind of describe kind of the imaginations to this one. So you perform the filling of the centers with the breathing exercise, breathing energy into each of the three centers, or five or seven or however many you're using. And then you perform the rising mycelium, and that's where they come up and cross over the energy centers, whether it's three, five, or seven times, however you're doing it. And instead of expanding that out into a sphere at that point, okay, instead of expanding it into a sphere of light at that point, you hold it in your solar plexus, imagining it as a spore. And then you imagine that spore sprouting, sending stems of light downwards to form its mycelium network. Imagine it expanding into a hyphae knot and turning into a formation. Then you watch this fungi grow and expand, and still it sends out a mature fruiting mushroom of light.
All right, very cool. Well, when you described it just now, I imagined one of those glowing green fungi that we've been talking about sometimes, which are very cool. And that's much less sinister than the original idea that I had. All right, I love it.
Okay, and then after you've got that established, you start doing breathing exercises again. And when you breathe in, you'll imagine the cap drawing in air, sunlight, and the life force of the celestial current, which goes down through its stem all the way to its deepest mycelial root. And when you breathe out, you'll imagine the mycelium drawing water, nutrients from the soil, and the life force of the chthonic current, and sending it through the stem all the way up to its peak or its cap.
Okay, okay. I don't think most mushrooms are photosynthetic, but I don't think they need to be for this metaphor to still work on a magical basis. I'm so sorry. No. But yeah, okay, so that makes sense. So we've got this unity of above and below.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, you would expand the sphere of light or the circulation of light. And altogether, I mean, this whole series of exercises takes 10 minutes, maybe. It's really just the build up to them. You know, it's the sum of its parts that take a while.
Sure, sure. And the idea behind doing work like this, as you mentioned before, is to sort of hone the magical consciousness, perhaps, or like the attention, maybe is a one way to say it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there's also something to be said as well for a practice like this, or any kind of practice like this that you do come to on a fairly regular basis, hopefully a daily basis, you know, just to make that commitment to yourself and to set that time aside and to have just the discipline to do that, I think accomplishing that in and of itself can be really empowering. So it also has that going for it in terms of, like, you can be assured that just by doing it, you'll get something out of it in addition to all of the other magical effects, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And because we also designed this with beginners in mind, you know, so we put as much flavor of magic as we could in there, where we're using movement and words of power, imagination, breath work, meditation, rituals, life force channeling, daily exercises, and a whole lot of intentionality sprinkled through the thing. So it kind of also introduces people that may be new to that or new to magic in general, a lot of techniques.
Very cool. Fuck yeah. Well, I think that what we should do is, obviously, we'll make this stuff available on the website. We'll get it all spiffied up and presentable to folks, and we'll put it up there, and we'll, if there's the demand for it, which I suspect there probably will be, we can have a, you know, an area on the server where people that are doing this work can discuss it and, you know, share ideas and experiences and stuff. So if people are out there listening and they're thinking about maybe pursuing something like this, then there will be a place where you can touch base with folks who are doing likewise, hopefully, depending when you hear this, of course. So yeah, I love that idea. Fuck yeah. Anything to add in terms of how people might be able to get involved or anything like that? Any calls to action or anything?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there's, like, I went through it through the Inner Girl working. Laughing Dog has approached this through, I believe, yoga and Taoism.
Okay, very cool.
And there's various other people at various levels in this. So yeah, we do look forward to taking this adventure with you.
Yeah, very cool. So people who are curious about joining the Green Machine Discord server can hit either Dave or I up and get a link to that. Yeah, we'll definitely be making a space for people to have conversations about this there. I mean, there already is a space, but we'll be designating a special space for it. So fuck yeah. Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about this and for walking me through all the steps of the Mycocultus working and for putting all of this together. I think it's going to be something that's really cool and accessible and also really useful to people. So yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Fuck yeah.
Well, thank you for having me on here, and thank you for everything you do for the project and all the information and knowledge you provide to your podcast.
Oh, well, you too.
Love so many things that you do.
Oh, well, you too, dude. Thank you. Appreciate it. And it is my honor and privilege to be working with you and everybody else on the project. So fuck yeah. I'm so stoked. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Dave Audrey for joining me and for putting all this together and presenting it to us here. And thanks to Laughing Dog, aka Mirth and Woe on Instagram, Shane the Shadow Eater, and everybody else who helped in the development and editing process. You can find a link to the Mycocultus working in the show notes or on greenmushroomproject.com. You can find a link to the doc that Dave has put together that people can use to follow along with his third degree studies for the Ancient Order of Druids in America. Some quick thoughts about skipping steps in the Mycocultus working or in any other thing of its type. There's nothing wrong with doing that, and I feel like when people approach any piece of tech in the way that makes the most sense to them, it will likely work best for them. This being said, I've found that there can also be a lot to be learned from revisiting things that I think I might already know or understand or have a lot of practice in or whatever. When I go back and do things over again, there's typically a new breadth and depth of understanding to be gained. Like the idea of initiatory stories that will have different layers or nuanced meanings, which will appear to a practitioner at different points in their journey. Depending on when you hear the story, it will tell you different things. And I think that tech can be like that as well. So, and the only way to figure that out is to hear the same story over and over again, or to revisit the same tech over and over again and see how it changes and develops for you. But you do, of course. These are just simply some observations I have made. Before I tell you about the Pirates Revel and Let Your Freak Flag Fly ceremony that we performed this Halloween, as well as share a guided meditation that was part of it, let me remind you to go ahead and check out all of the awesome shows available on the Green Mushroom Podcast Network. We've got Administrism, Grognostics, Primordia, Ad Hoc History, Smuts Up, Unearthing Paranormalcy, XV Planis, Camera Occulta, and of course, Lux Occult. Alright, fuck yeah. If you like the show and you're into what I've got going on here, you can support it on Patreon. Making the thing is a pretty wild amount of work, especially for just one person, but it does mean a lot to me to be able to do it. Thank you so much to the people who are making that possible by giving on Patreon or buying me a coffee, and to the people who are supporting the show by spreading the word. Tell your friends, colleagues, and associates about the show. Tell your staff and all of your secret families, too. You can also post about it on social media or write a review. Both of these things are super helpful, so thank you so much to everybody who's already doing so. Most of the reviews have been pretty kind, and I really appreciate that. Stoked people are into what I'm putting out there. I'm also told that this allows other people to find the show more readily, which of course is very helpful. Not everybody likes it, of course. There are a few negative reviews out there. Apparently, I laugh too often and swear too much for some people's tastes. I assume this might be a habit picked up turning wrenches or whatever. And someone said that it was exhausting and masturbatory, which honestly is a great description for how I feel about making it, because it is both an exhausting amount of work and very pleasurable. So cheers. Oh yes, and don't forget to smash the shit out of that follow or alarm or whatever button it is on your app so that you can get updates when new episodes come out. Alright, perhaps speaking of exhausting and masturbatory, sorry, I just think that's so funny. Probably best to ignore stuff like that, lest people get confused or whatever though. Let me read the short introductory statement that I wrote about the new audio experiment, Audiophilia. After releasing my third album of richly produced aural erotica, Void Machine Adjustment, I wanted to find a way to offer others some of what I'd been able to take away from doing this type of work. Conducting it has been instrumental in allowing me to gain many valuable insights and has been the source of much, but of course not all, of the personal growth I've undergone since beginning. When I shared the first track that I made back in 2020, the fear and other emotions associated with breaking the taboos associated with doing so were enough to produce an altered state of consciousness. It was a magically potent endeavor. I learned through this experience that fear and power are neighbors, so if you want to find your power, it can be helpful to walk in the direction of your fear. I've written a bit about the recursive ritual process I've been using for sound magic in the essays that accompany my albums. Audio of a ritual is recorded and then mixed into a track, which is used for the next recurrence of that same ritual, which is also recorded, and then forming a sort of feedback loop, and so on and so forth. It's not terribly complex to describe the steps that go into the process, but communicating the experience of doing the work is another matter. Through writing or speaking about it, I can only draw a map, and an incomplete one at that. With this project, it is my desire to instead lead those who are interested into the territory itself, or their version of the territory that they will encounter through doing the work. So this project was inspired by the Sigil of Three Liquids project that the Temple of Psychic Youth, now Psychic Individuals, conducted. The plan is to release the first track of the Audiophilia experiment on Valentine's Day after participants conduct three rounds of the recursive ritual. Many thanks to everybody who will be taking this strange journey with me. I'm so excited. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the Pirates Revel ceremony that we conducted. This was the third birthday party of the Green Mushroom Project. The thing was created via a collaborative process after drawing five lines at random from our 23 bibliomancy scripture. And we used these five lines to build a ritual round, or ceremony, if you will. To get us in the mood for the celebration, we sang a sea shanty in the beginning, which was basically a mushroom reskin of What Would You Do With the Drunken Sailor, but it was What Would You Do With a Magic Mushroom instead. And we also rolled some dice and listened to a random track of Fuck Around and Find Out Part 2, The Green Mushroom Project and We the Hollowed digital mixtape, which is available now for free. Definitely check that out. As part of the ceremony, we presented offerings to the beloved dead, and we conducted some wish magic. We blew out some birthday candles, as is classic for a birthday party. We also did a very cool guided meditation. We also created our own flags of our ships, doing some artistic sigil magic. One of my favorite parts of it was when we boasted like pirates of the coming achievements which we will make, or other things which will come to pass for us. And we also had a really fun time showing off our silly costumes. So it was a really, really fun time. It went very well. And shout out and big thanks to Laura, Miguel, Frater Damiana, and Skella, aka AR Salzman, for helping out and for all of their rad contributions. I've been playing a lot with the notion of what it means to be a pirate lately in a sort of abstract sense, as well as working with my sigil flag that I made during the revel. Plunder and booty, right? I'm reminded of the first book of our 23 bibliomancy scripture, which mentions plunder. I'll read it here for you all. She sees nothing around her but ghost fragments of the brightness of what she has lost. I shall face a battle, I know not. Plunder as long as they live, which is practically forever, The electronic age is a world in which cause and effect become almost interchangeable, as in music structures. Building and development. Capacity building is seen as a key strategy to sustain. The Chi State has a reputation for cowardice. Earls of Mercia and Northumbria. Counterfeit worlds. Some are real worlds, as well as deranged private worlds. The Apomarja is a sole ruler over all plants. Karloff and Bela Lugosi, whose voices he totally appropriated. Aye, glass need not be expensively etched to be beautiful. All right, join us on the 23rd of the month when we use books and dice to continue to discover our scripture. January 23rd, we will be discovering book 18 of 23, stoked to be beginning to round the bend on it. I wanted to give a shout out to Lavender Laura, who has been kicking a lot of ass and running a lot of really cool stuff recently, as well as to Kiermo, who has contributed a lot of very cool things thus far. Thanks to the many, many awesome people who keep the green machine finely tuned and running smoothly, and to all the very cool people who hang out there. As always, much love and mush love to everybody participating in the Green Mushroom Project, regardless of what that looks like for you in your practice. Before I leave you with the nautically themed guided meditation written and produced by A.R. Salzman, who you can hear in episode 69, Necromancy and the Catholic Saints with Laurel, and Infinite Emptiness with A.R. Salzman, where he talks about the book that is not a coloring book, I wanted to remind everybody to check out the Trinary Magic Web app and to check out the show notes for thegreenmushroomproject.com to find the Mycocultus working. I'll go ahead and share the Green Mushroom Project statement of resistance. Remember to resist. Resist by maintaining sovereignty of the self. Resist by maintaining love of the self. Resist by maintaining fierce loyalty to love and pleasure. Resist with acts of radical kindness. Focus on the path to better times. Fuck yeah. Thanks so much to Dave Audrey, T. Grady, Sane the Shadow Eater, and everybody who helped put the Mycocultus working together. And most of all, thanks so much to you for listening. Much love. This is Lux Estrada, reminding you to stay strong and stay fucking curious. Alright, here is Compass Journey by A.R. Salzman.
Close your eyes and relax. Focus on your breath. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Sounds of waves flat at the side of your boat. The wind ripples through the sails of your boat, gently pushing you forward. You look up at the starry night sky, full and bright of constellations, guiding you on your journey. The vastness of the sea surrounds you in all directions and gives you a feeling of infinite possibilities. Endless life below and unknown shores ahead. You mark the guiding star through a sextant and consult your compass and mark your location and bearing on a map under the light of a lantern. The thrill of adventure flutters in your chest, and your entire body is filled with the excitement and purpose of this quest. What will you find? Will you find treasure? Will you find exotic spices, animals, people, new lands? Whatever lies ahead, you trust in your own intuitions that you are going the right way. The wind pushes you faster, inexorably, consistently, towards your goal. You are the captain of your own ship and destiny. You check the stars and how they align with your instruments again. Here be dragons. Mark your bearing in your mind. Focus on your destination. Feel the emotions of reaching your goal in your body. Focus back on your breath. Return to rocking your body with your inhales and exhales. Come back to your body. Return your focus on your body. Feel ready. Open your eyes and breathe normally.
Lux Occult is a part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network.